what we're doing for the month of November is to each week have someone come and bring a testimony of mission. And we had one of our overseas workers in Asia share about church planting and medical and business work in Asia. And Robin Musser talked about following God's call locally, right here in our midst. I'd like to invite Aaron Carr to come and share with us his sense of how God has called him, Aaron and Hope, who both work at Stanford Middle School, to share how God has called you and the fruit and the joy of following him in the midst of that.
All right. Thank you. We have some slides going on in the background just to give a face to some of the things that I've been so privileged and blessed to be a part of. And I'm going to just start out by really emphasizing the work that God has done on my life to put me in a position where I am today. And I went to college, and that's where I came to follow Jesus Christ, in college down in Charlotte. And I was surrounded by a lot of good, godly people who invested their time in my life. And I really just really caught on fire for the gospel there, and so much so that my intent when I was getting close to graduating was I wanted to teach in Charlotte a little bit while I pursued a master's of divinity at Reformed Theological Seminary. And I had my plan all laid out for me, that's what I was going to do. But that wasn't my calling. Early on in teaching, I was in not a really good teaching situation. God made it very uncomfortable for me there in Charlotte. And he brought me back home where I grew up. And even here, when I grew up around here, he made things uncomfortable. I was in elementary school, and he said, that's not where I want you. And he put me at Stanford Middle School about 15 years ago. And God really put me there, I believe, to minister to young kids. And I'm just incredibly thankful for that opportunity. When I got there at Stanford, it was even difficult because I'm like, all right, this is going to be my calling to minister to youth. But things got a little rough early on because, well, as many of you know, public schools aren't really a bastion of Christian faith. And so I was always worried and nervous at first about, man, am I going to get fired for doing what I'm doing? Maybe I should just go ahead and leave now, go to a Christian school or something like that. And I was studying in Acts, and one of my favorite passages out of Acts 4, when Peter and John were getting in a little bit of trouble for saying things they shouldn't say. And they're called before the council, and they told them, don't teach or speak in the name of Jesus. And they answered, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And I decided at that moment, you know what? I'm going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the schools. If I get fired, I get fired, and that's my call to go somewhere else. And I decided I'm not going to be scared or afraid of offending people, but I'm going to be strategic, but not afraid. And what I noticed is that God has protected me through all these years. And at Stanford, we've been able, people ask me, well, what's caused this ministry to really flourish? And I don't have a great blueprint or anything. I kind of summarize it in, I feel that I've been called to love all at Stanford, to teach many, and to disciple a few. And as you see some of these pictures going up, we see an illustration of that. I've been blessed with a platform to teach over 100 students every year, and coach 60 to 70 football players and 60 to 70 wrestlers every year. And that's my opportunity to love all. And what I found is that when you love all, that they're going to draw close to you. And that gives me an opportunity to teach many. And so on Wednesdays, as you can see up here, morning, we have our FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which draws anywhere from 70 to 100 kids there. And they get little brief messages every year or every Wednesday in there. And that's a larger group. And then as some of the ones go around, you start to see some pictures of some smaller Bible studies. Thursday mornings, we have a boys' Bible study in my room and a girls' in another room that God has been really blessing us by putting some young life leaders and wildlife leaders that this church really has helped support as well to help me out in that ministry. And then also to disciple a few. there's a small group every year that I have about seven or eight boys that really dive into the Word, and we really hold each other accountable, and they act as leaders. And many of those guys go on, and we continue to follow them through high school, and it's just a great joy to see them grow in their relationship with Christ. I do have to mention, though, that over the years, it's been very tiring, and there's lots of joys and lots of heartbreaks. As parents know, a lot of these kids come to make me, you know, feel like a dad there. And Chad Wilson in the mud pit there. Anyway, you grow and you get really attached to some of these kids. And parents, as you know, sometimes your children make you incredibly proud, and sometimes they break your heart. And so it gets to be tiring. To be honest, for about the first 10 years, I'm going at it, 15 years, 10, about 10 years, I'm going at it completely on my own. God kept me single for a long time. My parents thought I was never going to get married. But things started to get really difficult. And I'll be honest, up until a few years ago, while my outside world, my public stage looked so godly, and people were looking at me and just really impressed with everything that was going on, my inner world was struggling probably more than ever. And I really honestly believe that it was God working in my heart, because he says, you know what, you need a partner. And God placed hope in my life. And in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, you know, two are better than one because two have a good reward for their toil. And God placed hope in my life. And what's been amazing about it is my heart for young kids is the exact same as her heart. And so I was at a point in my life where I was like, I don't know if I can continue this any longer. I'm worn out. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. And so God placed hope in my life. And when we talk about missions, it's essential that your family is on board with that mission. I could not do what I'm doing if she wasn't supporting me, and she supports me in so many ways. And we need that as missionaries in whatever field you're at, whether it's in work or overseas. You need that godly spouse to keep you lifted up. And because of God placing her in my life, I really feel I can go at this for a few more years. It's been an incredible blessing. People are always, you know, commenting, and this is a perfect example. These are some of the guys that we've been with for a long time, so much that they're even a part of our wedding. And I'm constantly reminded of a quote of an old NFL player who made a comment. He says, I get paid a king's ransom to play a kid's game. And I've been given so many blessings, and it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy every minute with these young guys and with the students in the public schools. And just rest assured that even though it might seem like God is being excluded from places, that you can't kick God out of anywhere. And I've been blessed and incredibly thankful for the privilege he's given me to be involved in all these things. So,
likewise, I came from a school where life had to be very compartmentalized. I was scolded multiple times for reading my Bible during literacy because the children might see you. And I just kept praying. I was like, God, send me a really godly man who's surrounded by lots of kids and has the same heart as me. And God delivered me from one setting and put me here. And the first faculty meeting, he walks in, and I was like, that's the one. I don't want that one. Without a doubt in my heart, that was the one. And so he's doing FCA, and I'm like, I'm going to go check this out. Because my previous school, FCA, had three, maybe six kids on a really good day. And I come in, and there's candy everywhere. And he's got some kid folded in half in a wrestling move. And there's like 70 boys, like a whole football team. And there's 25 girls, and they've all got their Bibles out. And they're looking at me like, where's your Bible? And I was like, I didn't know I could bring it. But I will next time. And so I was trying to figure out where I fit in that role, and there would be little signs like, we'd run out of candy. Okay, well, I need to have a closet full of candy just in case. Got it, check. He would get frustrated with the technical equipment and look like he's going to chuck it across the media center. I need to have my iPod ready. You know, there little things like that. And then they would serve food. Like you saw the cookies and milk. The first time I saw this unfold, it was like chaos. A man left to his own devices cannot organize food in a way that, you know, children can access it. So I really found a nice niche there. And then they moved him directly across the hall from me. So, you know, I opened my door one day. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be a lot more convenient. Maybe you'll go out with me eventually. And he did. But that's when I noticed he's got these Bible studies going on. And that was the year girls started coming to me. And God's got a wonderful way of eliminating barriers for me, because I'll come up with all kinds of excuses as to why I'm not equipped, I'm not able, I can't do this. But these girls came to me and they said, well, our mom's picked a book. Here's the guide. And we're going to come in here and we're going to bring breakfast tomorrow and we're going to do a book study. It'll be great. And I'm like, well, there's no barrier there. Okay, we'll do it. And that morphed into another student coming and saying, we've already gone to the principal. And I'm thinking, great, here we go. He's going to lose his job. I'm going to lose my job. This is it. But we need you to find a room for us, because every Friday we're going to read the Bible and kind of talk about our relationships with one another. And I was like, all I gotta do is find a room. Yeah, principal's on board. We'll do it tomorrow. Okay, I can find a room. And it just kind of morphed. And now I've got a closet full of candy. I've got a drawer in my office full of odds and ends for boys. Deodorant, hot sauce, Band-Aids. Things for skin infections, because they're wrestlers, just gross things. Socks on occasion, a belt, yarn that they can use as a belt. I've got little things hidden in my office after they leave from studying, like post-it notes that say, you know, have a great day, we like lasagna. Like a hint, like I should make some food for them. And it's just now, instead of having a compartmentalized life, it's this mashup of sometimes chaos, sometimes mess, sometimes some barriers that we have to overcome, but two are better than one, and it's some of the best teamwork that I've ever had the joy of being part of, and I thank God every day for it. So. All right.
Do you use the hot sauce on the skin problems? Is that... Let's pray for hope and for Aaron. Father, thank you for your good plans and for your wise working out of all of our lives, Lord. Thank you for bringing Hope and Aaron together and for their marriage and their partnership. And thank you for your call upon their lives. But most of all, thank you, Father, that the light of Jesus Christ shines within them, and that you are allowing that light and that peace, that joy, the grace and truth of Christ to shine in very appropriate ways in Stanford Middle School, Lord. And we do pray that you would keep them near to you, and that you would continue to shine forth your grace to them. Would you give them wisdom and boldness and courage to follow you and where you're calling them? Would you give them humility and discretion in how they conduct themselves? May they always be filled with your righteousness, Jesus, that they would be blameless, that they would, the only thing they could be accused of is their faith working itself out in love in their context. We pray, Lord, for the middle school. We pray for all the public schools in Hillsborough, Lord, that you would do a great work in the children there, that you would reveal yourself, that you would enable them to be great learners, and that you would have a plan for each one of their lives. We pray that, Jesus, you would reveal yourself and exalt yourself and glorify yourself. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.